You're all in that voice. And once you receive that voice within yourself, then the voice within you becomes the voice of the infinite. It told Elijah to go forth and make Elisha his prophet. It told Elijah to go forth and appoint another one king. And everything he did worked. Every time the voice says to you, do this, if you recognize it as the voice of the Spirit of God in you, you are listening to your very being. And whatever you do is ordained. It is the Lord building your house. It must succeed because I am success already. Blessed are the pure at heart. They shall see him face to face. When there is a total forgiveness of the world of effects, of the people, the places, and the conditions, because you know them to be effects, unaware of their identity, unaware that they all move in the invisible ocean of spirit called I. When you have seen through their error and have forgiven them, for they know not what they do, when you have accepted that the they that you have forgiven are not there, but only the I of being is there, then you are realizing oneness with the infinite. And no good thing can be withheld. For all that I have infinitely must flow through the realized I. Wherever you have accepted I am all there is no foe, no enemy. There are no negative qualities in the world. There are no errors. There is no evil. There is no destruction. There is no disease. These are all the appearances that are unaware of the invisible I, the essence that is ever present. These are all the women of Samaria standing at the well and pumping away, unaware that I am standing there. And if they could but see me where they are, they would never have to pump again. We're in the upper firmament, out of the lower, in the upper room. And as we rest there, in this invisible one eye, everywhere, the Master said, if you go forth and rest in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem, I will come to thee. And this is where we're going to hear the voice speak. In the upper room, in the quietness which accepts, wherever you look, my being is. It doesn't matter if you see it or not. Wherever you look, my being is. Right where the freeway appears to man, that's my invisible being there. Right where the clouds appear, that's my invisible being there. And that ocean out there, you're mistaken. You call it the Pacific Ocean. It isn't. It's your invisible being. And when you accept that and live there in your consciousness, you will see this world is your invisible being. You can rest there. I am infinite being, and beside me there is no other. This takes it out of your human mind, out of your human manipulation. This is surrender. It is releasing God and releasing me. It is releasing my neighbor. It is where I must dwell for 40 days. Until that moment when I speak. When the I that I have acknowledged turns right around and acknowledges itself. When there's no two anymore. There's not I and me. There's not I and you. There's not I and him and it. There's only I. And it is I. Everywhere. The whole world becomes hundreds of thousands and millions of concepts all about the one I that I am everywhere. And when you practice this first with each person, so that when the doorbell rings and you let a person in, before you open the door, no, this is I. Invisible I is here. It will appear as a person, but it is I. It isn't him. It isn't her. It is I. My own being. And then open the door. When the phone rings, before you answer it, know this. And when you walk on the street or look out the window or stand in your office or your home and see another individual, register quickly. This is not him or her. This is I. And then you can recognize the individual on the human level, always knowing inside, this is I. Until you begin to expand your network of knowledge of I. Everywhere is I. What, am I a horse down the street? Yes. You're the I which makes possible the appearance called horse. You're the I which makes possible the airplane in the sky. You're the I which makes possible the rain and the snow and the sunshine. Without the eye of you, none of these things could be. There's nothing on this earth that's possible without the eye of you. And if you're not separated from that eye, nothing on this earth can be a power over that place where you appear. This is how cookies appear, or cakes appear to Elijah. This is how Jesus heals, by living in the eye of everyone he sees. This is how you bring harmony into your life, by living in the eye of every condition, every appearance. Judging not the appearance, but righteous judgment. Judging only that it is I. If you invest every circumstance with the knowledge that it is I, and I am never divided from myself, you will bear fruit richly. And I will speak in the midst of you, not only as a voice that you hear, but as food that you eat, as guidance that you know, as wisdom that you express, as life itself. For I, the voice, am the voice of life. You see, we're bringing the miracle of I into daily existence. Even when you speak to another, you will feel the motivation of I behind your words. You will know you are expressing the voice, letting the voice express itself through you. You will find resentment goes away, because I, the voice, am never resentful, anger will begin to diminish, because I, the voice, am never angry. You will find yourself forgiving, because I, the voice, always forgive them. They know not what they do. You will find yourself loving and understanding, because I, the voice, am the voice of love and understanding. I begins to be the living self of you everywhere. Don't be afraid to die to this limited self and be born to your unlimited self. That's the whole purpose of mystical I. There is an I, there is a voice. It is real, it is power, it is glory. It is impartial, it favors no one. It does not favor one nation or one person. It is infinite, it is universal, it is available. And whenever you build the consciousness of I everywhere, you find that availability becomes fact. What we have tried to do is to shorten I down to me. And that is how we have held I away. We have personalized Jesus, and now when we learn about I, we try to personalize I. We cannot. And we should not, because all we're doing is making dwarves of ourselves when we are giants. Let's meditate a moment before we take a little intermission. The person you see is never a him or a her or a me. It is the I of you, seen through a glass darkly as a concept called form. Everything you're looking at throughout the world is the I of you, seen through a glass darkly as a concept called form, person, place, thing, or condition. None of it is there. Only the I of you is there. And the I of you is mighty. The I of you is pure. The I of you is God expressing everywhere. One, indivisible, infinite self. This ocean of spirit is invisible to human eyes. And do not be fooled by the fishes swimming in it. Know yourself to be the invisible ocean of spirit, and then dwell there in consciousness frequently enough during the day so that you start the habit of identifying everything you see as the invisible ocean of spirit, which is your name, I. Make up your mind to let nothing stop you from doing this and from correcting yourself when you have forgotten to identify properly. Make it the most important thing in your life. You won't have to worry about how to get out of a body. You'll know that I am already everywhere. as the invisible essence. The law of I everywhere governs my being. I'm not a branch. I am the tree. I'm not a wave. I am the ocean. I'm not a spark. I am the infinite self. I am the tree of life. And that is why the fruit that grows from that tree will be the substance of that tree. The human form is the branch. But I am not the human form. I am the substance, the very tree of life. I am the tree of one. I'm never going to be a branch. I'm getting out of the branch that withers. I'm getting out of the healthy branch that dies. I am not the branch that is cut off or the branch that stays on. I am the complete and total tree of life. There is no other. I am that one. Everywhere, behind all things, you will find I am. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, I think it's verse 14 or thereabouts, you will hear about being salted. The Sabbath has lost its salt. This is being salted, knowing who I am. The salt having lost its Sabbath. We are being salted, Christed, infinitized. Removed from limitation of sense perception. You won't do this 24 hours a day, but if you do it for a few minutes, it begins to do itself. You find, you look at a form, and it begins to be identified by something in you as I. And then you'll notice the person's eyes begin to sparkle. There's a twinkle at the corner of the mouth, and lo and behold, so are you. There's a feeling engendered because this invisible begins to come through the tree into the branches. These human branches begin to feel the tree of life feeding them, and it is all motivated by your recognition that that tree of life is you. We let go, really let go, because I, the infinite, can run its own beautiful universe right now. I contains everything. There is nothing outside. All is in this I. When I is real and you trust this I, you'll find how effortless it is to get the water out of the well. That's the upper firmament, the living water. Right where you are, then, I am. And and I am you. Right where your neighbor is, I am, and I am you there. And everywhere anyone is, I am, and I am you there. I am never a person, I am always you. And your name is always I. One infinite fabric. All else is adulteration. Dividing his name, piercing his garment, reluctance to let there be only the one infinite life. And every time we make a second life or a third or a fourth and divide it up into forms, I cannot speak. For there are no ears to hear my voice. You only hear with the infinite inner ear. No other ear will hear my voice. We'll rest for a moment. I think we have some more things that can help today. Let's consider again some phrases we've gone over so many times and see how they are all saying the same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now that kingdom of God and his righteousness is I, the Spirit of God in you. And all things will be added unto you. Again, we are told in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we know that the will expresses in the I, which is in the midst of your being. This little book was given to me. It's called The Soundless Sound. I'm not looking anywhere for it again because it was written in 1911. But right here on our little earth, in the back it says, that the Order of the 15 is a non-sectarian spiritual movement for the advancement of Christian mysticism. The Order is not an organization. It says monthly lessons will be sent. 1911, by a doctor in Los Angeles. And in here is this beautiful phrase, which is just like the Lord's Prayer. When you have listened to and obeyed the God within, the higher self, who is one with all, will make his own voice heard. When you have listened to and obeyed the God within, the higher self, who is one with all, will make his own voice heard. Now, it makes it necessary to listen to the God within in order to hear the voice heard. Now let's look at John. And we'll see John has been telling us the same things in three different places. They become very easily recognizable. In the third chapter of John, the 20th verse, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Now you see that bridegroom's voice? When you hear the voice, you are joined. You're in union. You see, the keys are dropped in Scripture that way. The bridegroom's voice is that which you hear, which takes you in union with the one. And this, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now, that's how John said it in one case. In the 10th chapter, verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Again, it is saying that those who are disciples, who are living as the Christ, are living by the inner voice of the infinite in themselves. The greatest of these, in my opinion, is probably this one, in John 18:37. Before Pilate, Pilate said therefore unto him, Art thou a king? And then Jesus answered, and this we must see now, this Jesus who is answering is already I, nothing else. Jesus has attained the realization of the inner I, and then is known to himself as I, and speaks as I, and accepts no other self. That's the willingness to give the form to the crucifix. Because I am spirit, and I will prove it because I'm not a form. I'm not spirit and this form. You can have the form. I am I. And therefore, when Pilate says, Art thou a king? Jesus answers, and this is I responding. And I says, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. The voice of I in you is the truth. If you want the truth, to live the truth, to be the truth, you must hear the voice of I within you. And this is by the Master. Now, when you see a book called The Master Speaks, that means I within you speak. I within you am the Master. Always, we were being led to I in the midst of us. Now finally, in Joel's chapter today, I speaks. On page 85, you will see this. Be not afraid, it is I. I that is speaking to you is the I of the army that is marching against you. And right there we have a statement that no one could make unless the experience that I is the invisible reality of everyone on the earth. I is the army that is marching against you. What's the difference what that army is? Whether it's persons, things, or conditions. I is the identity of that which you have called the army. When you know that, there's no army there anymore, there's only I. When you know that I is the identity of all things, then what you've been calling the problem must be a lie, because I is there and not the problem. Now, if you say the problem is there, you're denying that I is there. When you know I is there, you know the problem isn't there. Whatever the problem, it is your misbelief or unawareness of the infinity of the I of your own being. In meeting friend and foe, you are meeting me, meaning I, in the midst of you, in the midst of war. Recognize there is one divine selfhood. You will soon see the only enemies you ever had consisted of your own belief in a selfhood separate and apart from I. The moment you have peopled this universe with the invisible eye, these forms will have no terror or fear or any form of antagonism toward you. Every problem, every enemy, every discord is the belief that there is something out there that is not I, but only I is there. And so as you become more conscious that I is there and not that something, you will be recreating your world out of the false human sense of things until only I is there without a second in your consciousness. And then your consciousness will make itself visible as the truth of that. You're building a new fabric in your universe. If this becomes clear to you, that only I is there, then your fidelity to that I demands that you reject the possibility of other than I being there. These are working tools. When you have accepted in consciousness that only I am there, then I and the voice are one. It is the voice of your soul. It is the infinite voice of God functioning in every movement of your day. All two-ness disappears. The enchantment is so unusual that you wonder if something is wrong. You're not called upon to make any momentous decisions. Everything is done. Do you notice how the shadows begin to move away? There are no shadows. There's only one complete self which cannot cast a shadow. You notice in the first half we went over about an hour and a half because we were not in the thinking type mind, and time just escapes you then. And I don't intend to make anyone stay too long, but I think you should hear some of these statements out of Joel's chapter. That human beings live as a branch separate from the tree. It doesn't say some human beings, or that good ones do not live as a branch separate. It says human beings live as a branch separate from the tree. There is birth and death, and the very birth itself is the forerunner of the death that is to come. Well, we'd normally say, well, of course, everybody knows that. But then comes the great statement, there is only one way in which this can be overcome. There is a way in which we can overcome a death following a birth. And that is to realize that since we are a branch of the tree, We are one with a tree, and we have no branch life. Now you see, you have thought, and I have thought, that this is my life. Well, that's like a branch thinking it has a life. Maybe the next branch has another life. And maybe the tree has a different life. But how could your life and my life be different? If they are, we're two mortal beings, and we are under the illusion of separate lives, different lives. But you don't have a different life than mine, nor do I have a different life than yours. There are no two people who have different lives, because we are all the life of the tree. Every branch is the life of the tree. There is no separate branch life. But if you are the life of the tree, that's who you are, the life of the tree. You're not even a branch. And so you finally identify as the life of the tree of life. God is the tree, and I am the life of the tree. I am the life of God. But my friend and my enemy are both that same life. It doesn't make any difference what they're called or what they appear to be. They are that life. But that life is my life. The life of the branch next to me is my life, because there's only one life. And now I'm thinking in terms of one life, and that life is I. And that's how you overcome the death that must follow the birth in humanhood. To realize that since we are a branch of the tree, one with the tree, we have no branch life. We have no life that has a beginning, because that life has no beginning. Your life did not begin at your birth. The life of the branch didn't begin at the moment the branch appeared. The life always existed in the tree. The life of you existed before the branch or the form of you appeared. And that life must be identified and accepted. The life that existed before you became a human appearance was always your life. There could be no sudden bursting out of a life called a branch. Where would it come from? It comes from the life of the tree. There's no sudden bursting out of a you called a human. Where would you come from? You come from the life that is called I. And I never lets go. I is always that life. The appearance of the human sense of things is not that life. That's the concept we entertain about the life we cannot see. Now, as soon as we take ourselves out of this sense of a human life, and our neighbor out of a sense of his human or her human life, and cease to have two separate human lives, but have one invisible life out of which both human appearances sprang, then I am that one invisible life, and I'm out of the cycle of birth and death. The life that I have accepted, which precedes the form and exists while the form appears to human sense, is the life that I am that will not die when the form ceases to be. I'm out of the dying self into the undying life. And Joel says this is the only way in which the birth-death cycle is overcome. We have no branch life, no life that has a beginning, no life that has an ending. We have the infinite eternal life of the whole tree. We have no personal responsibility. We have no personal life. We have the life which is God. Well, there it is. He said so. And this is the voice speaking, because every word is ordained. You have only one life. It is the life of God. You cannot deny that is my life. You cannot deny it for any individual or person, place, or thing. And finally, you will accept it as your life. and you will find that the birth-death cycle has no meaning for you. Your life has no beginning in birth and no ending in death. Your life has no limitation. Limitations are unknown in your life. They only appear in that form where there is no acceptance of the one infinite life. When the consciousness opens to encompass the one infinite life as its own, then the form is fed by that consciousness of the one infinite life. And it finds that greater vision, that greater health, that greater abundance, all the greater things which are the infinite life expressing. The consciousness becomes the bridge from the invisible to the visible. And then life invisible expresses through the consciousness into the visible form as the harmony of existence. But never do we accept ourselves to be the form. We are always the life without beginning or end, everywhere. Don't slice it off and make it a fragment for you. Accept it as yours everywhere. I wonder if you are important homework, because I have discovered within myself that unless I do this, I really have no right to feel that I'm serving the Spirit. Wherever you look, you are. And you are always invisible. Wherever your eye sees, there are visible forms, and they are never you, and they are never him or her. They are always your invisible self. Its name is I. Learn to identify that way every part of the day. Wherever you are, whether it's a desk or a wall, a floor or a ceiling, even if it's inanimate, recognize there is no such thing as matter there. There is only invisible spirit, and it is I. Don't be concerned about the human mind, which might think this is a strange procedure. That human mind is part of the dying self. I am not bounded by a human mind. And when you get the feel of the invisibility of yourself, you'll see that I walks through the wall, because I am there and there is no wall. I walks on the water because I am there and there is no water. I am never sick because I have no material form. I walk through the fire because the fire isn't there, I am. I walk through death because death can never be. I am life. Let omnipresence of I be your religion. Let the omnipotence of that I be the power which animates all of your thought, all of your activity. And let the intelligence of that I show you the truth that underlies every visible thing in this universe. You find, as Joel said, we're discovering the secrets of outer space because there are no secrets. Isn't outer space in God? Isn't God I? Isn't outer space in I? Well, of course I know the secrets of outer space. They must be revealed as I reveals them. For I is the wholeness, the allness of your being. This prepares you for that great miracle of the temple not made with hands. be patient, and when I speak, be obedient. Prepare for that speaking with silence, for in the silence of the mind I speak. Do the exercise and you will be looking at the extension of your being everywhere. Learning why the Father said, "Beside me there is no other." I'd like to just say this. When I try this exercise, just on simple things, it was quite enlightening to notice how they seem to come alive. A whole new perspective opens up. Just a simple candle becomes something different. Everything becomes a radiant living object when you know that the invisible eye is all that's there, and I'm looking at it through a glass darkly, seeing it as a candle, as a knife, as a fork. The world becomes alive. That's what it is. The one invisible life. Thanks again.